Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turteltaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics. Joining me today from Minneapolis, although his home is in London, is Robert Bond. Robert is a board member for the SCCE and HCCA and a partner at the London law firm of Bristow's. Robert specializes in data privacy, though he keeps insisting to me it's data privacy. And we asked him to join us today to talk about some of the changes that are going on, particularly the European General Data Protection Regulation, or GDPR. Robert, first, thank you for joining us. And second, can you dive in by explaining exactly what GDPR is?
Yes, of course. GDPR is a new regulation that comes in on the 25th of May, 2018, and is completely different to the current regime in that it applies to both what we call controllers, people who make decisions in relation to data, and processors, i.e. the third-party vendors that manage their data. And it's also extraterritorial in that it applies to the processing of personal data by non-EU organizations if they are offering goods and services or carrying out monitoring of EU citizens. So it's global.
Yeah, so I think that's a notable thing. I mean, it doesn't just apply to the members of the European Union, but anyone, as you said, who touches a citizen, even if that citizen, correct me if I'm wrong, even if that, for example, a British person is in the U.S. and data is collected on him or her by a U.S. company, the GDPR applies, correct?
Yeah, pretty much. Where it's really striking home now is a lot of the really sophisticated cloud providers and contact centers and ad tech companies are invariably US headquartered. And yet their entire EU approach, which up until now was outside the law, is suddenly now being captured by the law. And with something like, I don't know what it is now, certainly less than 100 days to go, there is a mad scramble by organizations who've suddenly woken up to the fact that, wow, we're caught by this European law, and yet we have no presence in Europe. Help us. We don't have a lot of time to go.
So in terms of helping them, what should a company that's located outside the EU think about doing to start complying with this legislation?
I guess the first thing is to try and understand what I call the who, what, when, where, why, and how of what data you're collecting, or indeed what legacy data you've got about individuals. And that means quite a lot of data mapping, data classifications to understand, have we got relatively benign information like names, addresses, job descriptions, stuff that you get on a business card, or have we got some fairly sensitive data about health records, about criminal background checks, about philosophical and religious beliefs? Because the more sensitive data, the more the ante is upped in terms of what those non-EU companies have got to do in terms of compliance. And if I can just add, a lot of non-EU companies have got privacy notices or privacy policies that are very US generated. And suddenly now these companies have got to be much more transparent and EU-driven by the way they express transparently what they are doing with people's information.
Well, that's a good thing to note, is one of the first things to do is to take a look at that privacy statement. Now, some are going to think, well, Europe's far away, it's not a big problem for me. What are some of the penalties for non-compliance?
So that's a good question. And we've heard a lot in the media about this so-called maximum fine of 4% of global annual revenues, without wanting to detract from the severity, I have to say it's probably only going to be in the most egregious situations that a company would be hit with that sort of significant 4x2. But that being said, some of the non-compliance scenarios are going to be more important for a business when they find that actually when things go wrong and when consumers complain and when regulators investigate, it's going to be the damage to the brand, it's going to be the damage to the reputation, it's going to be the impact on shareholder value. And I think we're also going to start seeing a more US-style class action approach by individuals saying, I am really concerned that you have lost my data. I didn't even know you had my data. I am now emotionally distressed, and I am going to sue you for compensation. And I don't even have to prove financial loss. I simply have to prove emotional distress. And so you'll start to see, I think, a lot of consumer activity post 25th of May when the new regulation comes in.
And correct me if I'm wrong, that's fairly new for Europe. You don't see that to the degree that we've seen that in the United States.
No, absolutely. It's a the concept of the quasi-class action is not something that we've typically seen, certainly not in what we call civil law. It's probably more prevalent within US, UK common law type approaches, but that's quite different. And, you know, if you saw some of the post 25th May mega breaches, which have been well publicized in the press, you know, where you get 140 million EU citizens' data somewhere on the dark web, because it's been hacked. I can see, you know, there'll be law firms, data breach lawyers for you. No win, no fee. Have you lost sleep worrying about where your data might be? No problem. Come to us and we'll start a class action. And you end up with 114 million users times, let's say, $1,000 per claim for compensation. That's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very much so. Now, you mentioned May 25th is the real deadline for when things come fully into effect. If I'm a company that's flat-footed and hasn't really dived in yet on this, what are the things I should start doing right away to prepare for the GDPR?
Okay, so start the journey. I think the regulators understand that it's very difficult to be 100% compliant by the 25th of May because the business changes the way it processes data. You know, one day before so-called go live date, you might make an acquisition and suddenly acquire a whole load of businesses that have to be fitted into your program. So nobody is likely to be 100% compliant, but the regulators would expect you to have started the journey and have a plan and have assessed what are the high risk areas in relation to the way you process data and what are the nice to haves. So I did say earlier, understanding the who, what, when, where, why, and how of where personal data is that you manage is probably the first step. But then the second step is to work out how do we manage this concept of what we call accountability under GDPR? In other words, how do we prove that we are trying to meet standards of compliance with the new law? And that's very much about policy, procedure, and training. And a lot of our current compliance has been probably somewhat lower level because the risks have been less, the fines have been less. Now we have to step up to the plate and say, do we really have robust policies that manage how we deal with people's privacy and indeed their expectations to the management of that privacy.
Well, and as you know, it's going to be a long journey, but you know, what's notable is there's a definite starting point, and notably one which is understanding the risk, which compliance professionals are used to doing. And certainly it's going to be, I can imagine, for a lot of people, a bit of a scavenger hunt trying to find all the places in their organizations where data is being kept, because that's something that, you know, a lot of companies aren't used to thinking about. Well, Robert, thank you so much for taking the time to give us this primer on GDPR. Thanks to all of you for taking the time to listen. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and HCCA saying I hope we were able to expand your compliance perspective.